Hello and welcome to episode probably 9 of Chasing the Dragon Father, the Cricks podcast, where we try and maintain our punk rock cred despite the fact that our faction has definitely gone mainstream. With me today, I have got my usual co-host.
Hey, I'm Klaas.
And our special guest for this week.
Hey, I'm Sasha.
Sasha, of course, is one of the members of Team Germany Lorelei, who were victorious at the WTC just last weekend. So, congratulations.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, so rooting for you all the time.
It was about damn time.
You honestly, so many people said it's about damn time. Oh, what took you so long? But I mean, you have no idea how much, like, first of all, you need a ton of luck. You need some good matchups. You need, like, luck in the pairings. You need a good day. You need to put in a ton of work. Like, it's not just because we've been good for many, many years. It doesn't mean, like, by default, at some point you should win this. It's not how it works.
Well, no, you got to keep up the work, right? Even if you were close so many times before.
Right. Yeah. So it we totally didn't feel like we've earned this. Let's make. I mean, it didn't feel like, come on, it's overdue. Huh? I mean, many people told us this, but it really didn't feel this way. We felt kind of privileged, honestly, to even make the finals again. And then, of course, happy to win it all. But it's like, it didn't feel like it was overdue at all.
Oh, I actually would say that I respect it very much that you guys managed to keep focus. Especially since, yeah, you've been close for this, maybe the third year running. And that you guys managed to maintain focus, we're kept ready and kept motivated to keep playing and keep going at it.
Yeah, you could argue that we haven't been as motivated for a while, or like we started kind of late in our preparation because we've been down a bit. We've had some burnout issues among our players, basically. And actually, to be fair, going into the event, Ben, in particular, our retribution player, he was kind of pessimistic about our chances because we haven't been practicing, you know, as much. I mean, we've been playing a ton, of course, but like, we've not been as prepared as we have been in Ireland or in the Netherlands, and Ben was kind of pessimistic about our chances.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like that's probably true of most teams.
Yeah, so this is what the Swedes told us. You know, everybody's a bit less prepared. So if you're a bit less prepared, you'll still, you know, you're going to be fine. You're going to win a bunch of games, and ultimately, Dylan is right.
Yeah. It was my feeling as well. In general, like, this was going to be the WTC with the highest possible dark horse factor. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of saw it with Norway and France.
To be honest, though, I think you cannot underestimate the achievements that the French have. Or, like, this is a feat that, I mean, this is insane, actually. Compared to last year, I mean, we beat them kind of badly. Everybody was like, nobody had them on the map. And then this year they take out like the big shots. Like they beat Poland. They beat Australia. They beat two of the Swedish teams, maybe even. I can't remember, but like, this is, you cannot like praise them too highly. I think this is actually insane.
No, they didn't. Yeah. They did incredible work.
I'm not selling them short in any way. I'm just saying that it's the WTC where the chances of unexpected, results were the highest.
Yeah. I was just trying to make sure that it didn't come across as like, yeah, the French did so well because this year the prep wasn't so high. Because we played them and it felt like, okay, these guys are sort of the future of at least European War Machine. They're going to be good for a while. Very impressed.
And you played them last year as well, right?
A huge change, yeah. Both in terms of like the faces, they got rid of a bunch of players or a bunch of players retired. And I think this year they called their teams Asterix and Falbala. And last year it was Asterix and Obelix, and basically the entire team Obelix retired. So they retired the name, or like they gave the team, the second team, another name. Mm-hmm. Because like it's really five different guys.
Could be. I know some of the faces, but don't ask me where I met them and how I know these faces. I don't know them the way I know the Germans.
I mean, I know Tom Escoffier because he's like...
Yeah.
He was in Germany for a while.
He won
the Belgian Masters. That's fair.
I mean, that's important. It's like the most important tournament on the planet. That's not the WTC. Come on.
Fair.
See, that was your perfect opportunity to plug your other tournament, Sasha.
There's a tournament in Oberhausen on 9th of December. It's basically going to be Ben and my farewell party because we're both moving away from that meta. So if you don't know, Oberhausen is like where the Netherlands, Germany, and Belgium meet. The next big airport is Düsseldorf. We have tons of people coming over from Sweden and England and hopefully Ireland if you can manage.
I screwed up my dates and can't make it.
Fair enough. Still, you should come. It's 60 players, 5-man teams, WTC rules, loads of like big competition. I think there's going to be a Belgian WTC team. The Dutchies are coming over. At least 10 of our WTC players are going to be there. And then Pat's probably going to make the trip. Mike Dick. Yeah, so if you want to come, the competition is high. And also if you're like not a very competitive gamer, more like on the casual side, there's a beer flat rate for 9 euro quid, where you can drink beer all day, basically.
Yeah, to make that absolutely clear, that means you pay 9 euro and they give you beer all day.
Yes. It's German beer, so it's not maybe what you're expecting from the WTC, but it's still not bad.
It's still better than a lot of other beers of that color.
Better than probably any other beer in the world, apart from Belgian beer.
So I hear.
I was at that event last year. It was loads of fun. People should go.
Yeah, I was there last year as well because it was called a Santa Claus edition.
And you had to come,
yeah. Klaus, I have no idea if that was just to get me there, but no,
maybe not just to get you there because we thought it was good. I mean, it was a nice joke.
Yes.
If it had the added benefit, yeah, you couldn't resist. You shouldn't resist this time either. You should come.
I subscribed.
You subscribed. You're a good boy.
Managed to change the name of the Belgian team from Team Princesschen mm-hmm. into just Team Sexy because, you know, Team Princesschen, we've had that. It didn't really go the way we wanted it to go this year, so time to retire the name.
Fair.
I mean, Team Sexy always works.
Speaking of retiring names, do you think next year the strongest team should be called Team Lorelei again for Germany, or do we retire the name now we want it?
I think you retire those jerseys.
Yeah, the jerseys for sure.
But you retire the jersey, retire the name, you frame your jerseys and put them on the wall, like.
Or you give them to me, like Dominic de Cassan did. I washed that jersey, like, this week, and I was really genuinely thinking, should I wash it? You know, then it won't have champion sweat in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, I want to wear it sometime, so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Then that's some nice extra stories about the WTC. Should have been there. So to all people who are listening and who were not at the WTC, maybe just get good and be in a WTC team.
Honestly,
don't even get good. Show up to the Solo Masters.
Show up.
Oh yeah, do that.
Or to the Watch Machine crew. Like, you cannot stress enough that this is just a great event, not just as a player, but even if you're just hanging out, meeting new people, like drinking booze and watching games. I think Rickard and a bunch of other Scandinavians, they literally went there just to drink and watch games.
Yep.
Yes.
They had jerseys, not jerseys, but onesies, the one you just talked about. It said Swedish Watch Machine crew on it.
Yeah.
So I think you don't have to be good. You don't have to be playing on a team. You can just show up and enjoy yourself.
I came to Netherlands last year
just to
hang out and watch Machine, and it was just as much fun. I mean, it's great to play the games and be on teams, but the event itself is the biggest collection of international War Machine players on the planet every year. Just from being in that atmosphere and playing some games, you're going to have a good time. And you'll meet a lot of new people. So, like, I think some people who don't make it onto teams have this idea that it's an elitist event.
Right.
But I don't think that's accurate. You know, the Solo Masters is always undersubscribed.
Yeah.
I thought it was full most of the time.
It was last year in the Netherlands.
Ah, okay.
But this year they had only 32 spots, but this year we had 64 spots and we had, I don't know, 36 players in the end. Because there were also some last minute drafts into the main event.
There'll always be that though. Yeah. A lot of people who sign up for the Solo Masters are the alternate slot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, also, it can't just happen to you that you get randomly drafted into a team because somebody, I mean, this is like, what, 320 players traveling there?
Yeah. Yes.
And then it might easily happen that somebody misses a flight or loses his minis on the way or whatever. And yeah, then, for example, two of the German, like, let's call them sidekicks, or one of the alternates, and then one guy that didn't even consider being an alternate, they just got drafted into Team Netherlands and Team China, because these were just short players, because one had, on short notice, had problems with the visa, one of the Chinese guys, and the Dutch, one of them couldn't make it for personal reasons on very short notice, and then Alex, who had initially planned to be on the streaming crew, he just played for him.
Yeah, and actually, it was not even a problem, because we had some Watch Machine people who were very ready, or I want to even say eager, to just, you know, Watch Machine and then talk at the same time.
Yep.
I mean, they had that record on stream, I think, for at least 3 or 4 games, and I think he did a great job. Or it's what I hear, that he did a great job.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the streams and all the interviews and, you know, the coverage, you should definitely do that. Because I think there's no other tournament where you have this amount of coverage, and like, not even War Machine Weekend, I think, has this much.
Yeah, really high quality sports style coverage.
Yeah, like with Telestrator tools and with like sort of how do you say this? Actually, they stream multiple games at once and they zoom into where the action is and stuff like this. It's just good stuff.
Josh and Keith, though Keith ended up not on the stream, like, they prepare really hard for that commentary job, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so do the Page 5 guys, like Alex and Frank and...
I went in quite unprepared, but I think I was okay. I had a good time. Got some good feedback afterwards. It was really nice to be on the stream and then see somebody in the chat say, "Oh, it's glass."
So let's, talk a little bit about some games then at the WTC. So,
sure.
I suppose the first thing to ask you, Sasha, is that you had not the Crix pair. You know, the Crix pair that everyone's talking about is Denny One, Ghostfleet, Coven, Dark Host. You took a different pair.
Yes. And now I have to justify this because I took two other broken casters and won 6 games. Now I have to justify why I didn't do it with, like, the mainstream guys, huh?
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
This is how we get our punk rock cred back.
Fair. I'll run you over, like, all the list selections and how the team dynamics work, because I think it's interesting, if that's okay, yeah? So our team setup was a red player, that was Ben. We knew that he was going to play red, fairly in advance, because he only has 2 factions, which is Signa and Red, and he decided to play red several months before the event, or before the list deadline even. So that was settled. Then we had 2 Scorn players, myself and Dominic de Cassan. And I had been playing Scorn for the vast majority of 2017, I guess. And even at ETC, we tripled up on Scorn in a 5-man team, and we felt like, yeah, this is going great. There's tons of good Scorn casters, and we can really double up on this. And then we had Bernhard. He only plays Circle and Minions. He decided to play Circle a long time before the event and even for the list deadline, so that was settled. And then there was Robin. He was kind of flip-flopping between playing Grimkin and playing Signar. And he decided on playing Signar also while before the deadline, because the old Witch wouldn't be available, and this was kind of the cast he was attracted to. So really the thing was my lists, basically, because I was flip-flopping between Scorn and Crix for a while. And then we realized that Rasheth is by far the best Scorn caster. And it's not so easy to find, like, an alternate for him. Even though it felt like this at ETC, the other Scorn gunline casters are not as good into Ghostfleet as he is. And playing Morgul 2 Winds of Death into Ghostfleet seemed, like, annoying. But for the longest time, we thought I was going to play Rasheth and Mordekaiser, and Dominic was going to play Makeda 2 and, like, Morgul 2, for example. And then Robin said, "You know what, Sasha, I think you should play some Gorshe 3, because he was always your boy, and maybe we can, like, free up Rasheth for Dominic, and you're going to like it." And I brought him to Bacon, which is a con in the far west of Germany. And I just smashed people. And he is what he was in Mark II. I think he's a very strong drop into, like, half the game almost. He's very strong into Legion, very strong into Scorn, very strong into Elves. I think I particularly like him against Elves, because he's just, outright smashes most of the matchups. I like him into Minions, I like him into Circle, very much in Circle. Even against Wormwood, he's very, very strong. And so it felt like, he can play into half the game. And I just need something that can fix Signar and Crix.
Before you jump into the other list, what specifically about Gorshe 3 makes him that good against half the field? Especially for listeners who might have who didn't know him back in Mark 2.
Right, okay, so people think he's like the big assassination caster that freezes your caster and siphon bolts him. But the way I like to play him is just I tow the zones and I charge stuff with like expensive models, like Banecaf. And then I revive Banecaf just outside of the threat range and then I charge in again next turn. And I do this for like 120 minutes until there's nothing left on the field and then I win. And I think he's really good at this. And it's very hard to stop for most of the Hordes factions because they don't have very good RFP. And in particular, the RFP these days in particular is, can I remove 3 13-12 leader models?
Yeah.
And like, if you're Wurmwood and your plan is to play against Ghost Fleet, and then you realize with a new Wraith engine, you need to roll like 13s to Hellmouth Bane Riders.
Mm-hmm.
And you can easily like space Bane Riders so there's never two in a Hellmouth. And then they realize this is just horrible. Yeah. And I also think the Kraken with Dark Wraith behind it is totally underrated. And he fixes a lot of matches, especially into Legion Circle and, Elves. Where you like, he's very tough to remove, especially if you're bleeding models to revive Bane Riders every turn. And then I do like that he's an occultation caster. I mean, we have several of these, but I think he, among the occultation casters, he's the best, Kraken caster. Because, the only other caster who has occultation and can run a Kraken well is the Coven. And the Coven mm-hmm. really doesn't like to spend the jack points on the Kraken. They want to buy some arc nodes and stuff.
True.
So I think he's the best Kraken caster in the faction because he can put occultation on Dara. And then, for example, move him into a bunch of strike force and they all pow 8. And then the Kraken is basically unkillable. Because it's, in particular, Red has huge problems killing Occultation Dara.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think he's strong into many factions for various reasons. In particular, because he can bully the Kraken to the late game by just trading Bane Riders into stuff and then reviving Bane Riders.
So are you largely playing a game then of those Bane Riders are going specifically into anything that might threaten the Kraken? And you're just letting the Kraken roll through the game.
I just try to grab all the free models. Like, I tow into zones, and then I charge what I can get. Like, I don't take any big risks. I don't make the fancy plays. I just, okay, there's, like, I don't know, one guy. Even for one guy, it doesn't matter. My guys come back, yeah? There's no serious RFP that threatens Bane Riders, really, these days. I mean, except for Ingrimkin. Ingrimkin, this is actually a bit of a problem, but I've practiced this matchup, actually, leading up to WTC, and it just depends on the number of heavies they have. But you can also play this by, you know, you go in with a Kraken on your Banecav, you hit some heavies, and you freeze them, and you hope the spirits break when the Kraken goes in.
Yeah. Grimkin could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but I think this is quite playable if they have, like, 3 or 4 heavies. If they have, like, 6, it's a bit annoying. But because one Grimkin heavy doesn't really kill the Kraken, with Darak behind it. Mm-hmm. So if they have, like, 4, and they lose 1 to the Bane Riders going in, and then the Kraken goes in and kills like 1.5. Yeah, so it's quite possible to actually play this matchup.
I feel like one fully fueled Skinner Moans could probably do it under Dara. Fairly easily.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the caster. Like if it's with a child or heretic, maybe. But like if it's a dreamer, and that is in many cases the Krixdrop, he has signs of importance okay, and he caps out at like what, pow 19?
True. I mean, I would rate the heretic as the best Krixdrop in Grimkin.
Yeah, then he has a bunch of output, yeah, like tons of power. Fair. Okay, but I think Gorshe is just very strong. He's very strong into most of Hordes, he's very strong into Elves, he's very strong into Kador, he smashes Kador. Even Sorsha 2, for example, who is, I think, a semi-legitimate Krixdrop.
No, not really.
Okay, fair enough, but he's very strong into all the, like, I play tons of Vintergard. Well, okay, he's mm-hmm. just good into that. Yeah, and then, so the idea was you need a list that can play into Krix and Signar, mainly. Mm-hmm. And I've been what I've been planning on doing is, play Gorshe 1.
Yeah.
And I practiced a lot of play Gorshe 1 into Haley 2, play Gorshe 1 into Fleet. And it's miserable, but it's possible to do this, actually.
Please tell our listeners how, for those of us who haven't, heard about your sweet Gorshe 1 tech.
Okay, so the list was 2 Corruptors, 2 Desecrators. The loadout changed a bit here and there, but the one I played heavy metal list was 2 Corruptors, 2 Desecrators, Wrong Iron Snapjaw, and then a bunch of minor pieces like Orin, Min, Blood Witches, some repair guys, blah, blah. And the idea is the Corruptor has a shot that RFPs people.
Mm-hmm.
So you slowly walk up. You can't be shot. You can't really be Crippling Grasp or anything because everything has stealth and Orin. And then you just slowly RFP some people and try to bleed them out. And it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It depends. If it's any one fleet, it's bad if you have to go second. But if you go first, it's actually quite okay. And the other thing that's great is you can always feed for the Wraith Engine. Because mm-hmm. it just pops a full unit of Banes. They get magic weapons from Admonia.
Mm-hmm.
And then you charge it and 3 or 4 Banes kill the Wraith Engine. And so you already play 15 points up, and then you just slowly try to bleed people to death, basically. And against Haley too, it's also difficult, but he has Hex Blast and a full unit of, what's it called? Not a full unit, but a min unit of Banes, I think should leave a wall on 8 on average dice.
Yeah,
not accounting for puppet, not accounting for Puppet Master and the fact that it already ate a Hex Blast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you have like one boosted shot or two, you can like one round the wall.
Tip it over, yeah.
And you also, I mean, you can't be shot. You are fairly resilient to Storm Strider shooting because everything in the list cannot be shot. It's, even the support can't be shot. Like the Wither Shadow Combine, Orin, Wrong Eye, they all can't be shot. So there's not really even a good target to leap stuff off except for the two Necrotechs. So yeah, this is also actually a bad matchup, but it was one, it felt like if you have practiced this and the opponent doesn't, then you can win this. And I had practiced it. And then in the end, we decided to not go down the route, even though it was fairly unlikely that opponents would practice the matchup because I was going to be the only one who, you know, with this kind of crazy plan, or nobody would prep for this if I'm like the only player who brings it. So even though we felt like this was a way, we didn't do it in the end because the Haley 2 nerf sort of, yeah, I mean, we expected not to see as much Haley 2. And he's not really great into Sloan or Kane 3. And we felt like the new customers weren't like his kind of customers, basically. So we figured I might as well play Ghost Fleet. And mm-hmm. we felt that Coven Fleet is much stronger into Signar compared to Denny Fleet.
Yeah.
It's slightly weaker to Kriggs. But maybe we can play through this and I would practice it. And yeah, so that was basically the rationale behind how I picked my casters, basically. And mm-hmm. yeah, Gorsha 3 was actually the guy I wanted to play all day, if I can. But unfortunately, I had to play like the Kriggs Mirror 3 or 4 times. And so I didn't get the chance to play a lot of Gorshade. But I think he was actually the guy I wanted to play most of the day.
Yeah, but just admit it that once you put the Coven on the table a few times, your preference tends to shift.
No. I wanted to play Shade 3 all day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And they're like the most, to me, the Coven are like the most fun caster ever.
Oh, they're also fun. They're also a ton of fun. But I think also in terms of WTC, his matchups are more robust. Like if he gets a good one, he smashes somebody very, very badly. And if you get a good Coven matchup, it's still probably something your opponent has practiced. And you know, it's like, I don't know. I think if he has a good matchup, like for example, in round 2, I played against the Finns. Oh, we can go over the matches later. I'm not going to, shuffle up the order in which you want to talk about things, but I think if he has a good matchup, I just think if he has a good matchup, he has a good matchup, period. And there's very little counterplay involved. And yeah, I think this is what you want at WTC.
I do feel like Coven are a little bit vulnerable to the game getting away from them all of a sudden, even when things are going well.
Yeah. I mean, they are very, very strong if you have a matchup where Fleet just does its thing, where there's no RFP and no magic weapons and no nothing, then of course it's kind of easy. And then I think ultimately you can play Sturgis too and have him run a Fleet and you can win the game. But this really never happened because people were prepped for Fleet. And so, yeah.
See, it's weird. That's, that's not an experience that I had on the bottom tables. Cause,
fair. Okay.
Our team had a bad day one. We went 0-3 day one. But what I was, once we started, you know, submarining,
mm-hmm.
what I was experiencing was that people were seeing me with my Coven fleet, you know, Denny 1 Coven pair.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just going, whenever I came out, it was a case of, who are we throwing under the bus?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
As much as I went 5-1, four of those five were matchups where the person was just thrown to the wolves. Like, 100%. Right. And I think it's interesting to see the difference between, you know, playing at the top flight and kind of in the middle. I think it really emphasizes that idea that Cricks have always been that faction that causes huge problems for people who aren't very well prepared for them.
Fair enough. Yeah, so people were prepared for Cricks. In the games we played, we didn't have a single team that didn't have, like, a fleet drop. I mean, we
and
can go over the matchups.
Did they have one? Or did they have more than one fleet drop?
For the most part, they... I think all the teams we played had the mirror available. Like, they can offer the fleet mirror, which is, like, not a good drop, but, like, it's a 50-50. In particular, in my case, slightly better for them because I didn't have a Denny fleet and she's a bit, or a Lich one fleet, and these two casters are a bit stronger in the mirror than, I don't know, common fleet. And also they had like, let me think. Yeah, they always had like at least one or two other guys.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, preempting slightly a thing I wanted to talk about, but how many pairs on the opposing teams were you seeing that just couldn't handle Cricks?
Pairs.
Yeah, like entire players.
Oh, where
you were
wow.
Like, those players just can't do it. How often was that coming
up? I can say this, like every round I can say what they had or read out what they had and tell you how I felt about the matchups. Have to do the math now. I didn't count before the cast, sorry. But we can do this.
But did you get a vague sense that there were more matchups on the other side that you were happy with than not?
Yes, I did get the feeling. Yeah, so every round there was like one or two players who couldn't handle Gorshade 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then every round there was like one player, particularly like Merc players, for example, who this is always like good for fleet. Or Axis, like conversion players, always good for fleet. This one is, for example, one where I think Denny fleet is not so strong into Axis.
Yeah.
Whereas Coven just smashes the matchup. I think I have more good than bad matchups. I guess in general, the people who had a lot of good and a lot of like black and white matchups were Dominic and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernard on our team, he always had like so 45 to 55 matchups. And so he was the guy being thrown under the bus. Because like if Dominic has a good one, he has like an 80%er. And if he's a bad one, he's like a 30%er. So you tend to give these people the good matchups.
Of course.
And then like if Bernard gets a good one, it's like a 55 plus. And if he gets a bad one, it's like a 40%, so it's not that critical.
Yeah.
And so he's the guy who went 2-4, and Dominic is like, okay, I'm cruising here. Yeah.
No, the reason I ask is really to, I suppose, fuck it, we'll get into it, and we'll swing back around
sure,
to the,
yeah.
We'll just get into it while it's relevant. The question that's on my mind, I suppose, is, outside of the WTC format, how dominant is Cricks? What exactly are the problems that need to be addressed to bring the faction back in line?
Right. Okay. I'll just go over the matchups then. We can discuss this afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
So first round, I think we play against Canada Moose, I believe. We have very little contact to the Canadian scene. So we figured this was Canada too. We couldn't know for sure. There's not, no disrespect to Canadians. Tons of great players, tons of very, very nice people, but like, we have never been to any Canadian con. We only see them at WTC. So we figured the team with Bubba Dalton and Charles Sung was their first team.
Yes.
And this was the second team, or maybe the third team. We couldn't know. I mean, the only Canadian player I have like semi-regular contact with is Bryn Holdstock. He was on Canada 1, like I think in 2014, for example, but he wasn't there. So how can I tell? Yeah. So in the end, the only Canadian team we prepped for and which we had read lists for was the one with Bubba because, he played with Lutzi on one of the Team US things, and we had it on good authority from Lutzi that he's a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But we hadn't prepped for Tim Banky's team, really.
Okay.
But they turned out to be absolutely stellar people, strong players, nice guys, very polite, as you tend to expect from Canadians. And they had Coven 1, Denny 1, against which I said, like, I have, like, a 40-plus percenter. Like, I'm slightly worse, because it's Denny 1 is stronger in the fleet mirror. But I can defend the worst position for 120 minutes, and I mean, this is what I do, yeah? This is my bread and butter. Like, play the long grinders. I was, yeah, happy to play it, actually. Then there was Amon High Reclaimer 2, or Testament. This, for a brief second, I considered playing Menoth myself at WTC, and I had played quite a bit of Testament into fleet to see if this works, and it can work. So I... I think this is a legitimate feat drop, but I had practiced this before. I felt like I could beat this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not a great matchup. Then Kane 3, Nemo 3. I think I said this is not so great for me. But after I had played some more Coven Fleet, I think I would have given myself like better percentages against this guy.
Yeah, I think so.
But I, like before the game, I said, don't need this if I can avoid it. Then yeah. I think I have a great one into the Legion player. And then John Fares, who I ended up playing, he's a Kalissa Rahn player. I thought this was okay. Like, no matter what lists we play, I think I'm slightly ahead here. I can play Goshi 3, I can play Coven, he can play either list, and I think this should be fine, actually, for me.
Yeah, that seems fine.
And then in the game, I won the starting role, which helped. And, yeah, I mean, shout out to John, actually. He's a very pleasant opponent, very calm guy. He didn't get annoyed when the game went downhill, like, very likable, like all of the Canadians, seemingly. Mm-hmm. And actually, Robin was playing as Corey Doyle on the board next to mine. And Corey insisted he was clearly the least polite Canadian or least nice guy on that team. And then he apologized to Robin like 4 times in 2 minutes for like completely minor crap shit.
Well, that makes him the worst Canadian.
Fair, yeah. So, okay, my opponent has Ron and Kalissa. He picks Kalissa. I pick Coven, even though usually Shade is my quick drop. Yeah, my red drop. But I can't even remember what possessed me to play Coven here. But I think anyway, I can play either list, get a decent game. I have the Stealth Wraith engine. He can't really kill because he has 2 Archentric Force generators and a fairly small battle group, and her Phantom Hunter spell doesn't go in the... Group. It's battle group, yeah. So I have this going for me, and then I fuck up a ton of stuff. Like I proceed to screw things up, like I forget to apparition. Plays an Arc Node with an 8 of some Halberdier, cast Curse of Shells on it. Then my opponent reminds me that he has feeded this turn.
Okay.
So I miss. and then
but
my
it's
last.
Coven, so you can try again with another caster at some other point.
Yeah, but the Arc Node is within 8 of the Halberdier, not within 5, so I'm not trying again.
Yeah, but you can like move another Arc Node there.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's kind of giving away both Arc Nodes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that seems bad.
Then my last screw up, I think, happens when I commit my Wraith engine somewhere, make a Machine Wraith, and then use this Machine Wraith to drag his Banshee into my army to kill it. And then he explains to me that half my guys can't charge because she is wailing.
That's quite bad, yes.
That's quite bad, but I think the matchup just is good enough that I can afford to make all these stupid things. And in the end, I'm ahead significantly on attrition and scenario, and he makes a risky play where he needs to. He doesn't want to contest my right zone, which is a like we play the bra, whatever, circle, rectangle, circle. And the right circle, I start scoring with a witch because I don't really want to put a full unit into it. Like, I'd rather risk a witch than get a unit wiped. So instead of contesting this zone, he tries to shoot it with a jack. And I think because they're at 5, right, he needs 11 to hit and then 10s to kill or 11s to kill, I don't know. And so it's kind of risky, and he doesn't get this. And he does this, like, the last thing in his turn is he tries this shot. So he can't really, I mean, he should have probably taken the shot way earlier in his turn to know if he gets it. And so I score, he doesn't get it, and I score at the end of his turn.
And then that's game over at that point.
Sort of accelerates his demise, but I think I'm in a good position even if this witch dies, so yeah. But, I mean, nice game, nice opponent. I think reasonably strong team for the first round, like Canada 2 or Canada 3 is very respectable team. So I think we're fairly happy at this point that we win 4-2 kind of convincingly, which is good. And yeah, we felt like we're off to a good start.
Yeah. I think they come seventh in the end.
Let me check this, if this is accurate. I think they end up the lowest placing Canadian team. But I think all the Canadian teams did fairly well. Let me check. Canada, they're Goose, right? Yeah, seventh. True. No, they're not the lowest placed team then.
Yeah. No. Canadians had a really good showing.
Oh, no. We played against Moose. Sorry, we played against Moose. They are 17th. But they finished with 4-2. 4-2.
Yeah.
17th is pretty respectable.
Yeah, of course.
I think they're the highest third team in the whole WTC.
The highest third team? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the highest... third team from the same country. I mean,
know what you mean, yeah. Like, so...
That hasn't been behind it, but just...
Really? Oh, yeah, the Swedes really screwed up, didn't they?
Yeah.
So if you had asked me, like, I would have placed all the Swedish teams in the top 10, top 15 somewhere, but I think Dylan and the boys, they screwed up kind of badly.
Sweden Norland came 24th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's the lowest ranked Swedish team.
Fair. Okay, so...
Not that bad, but we expected more from them, maybe.
Yeah, I did. Okay, any questions about round one, or should we...
No, far ahead.
And then we play against Finland, Kekkonen?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't pronounce Finnish words. Sorry.
Nope,
yeah, so
nobody else
like,
can.
Yeah. It felt like they were down like a ton of players. I think Timo Aro is not there. Jaakko is not there. Tatu is leading like a team called Finland Leftovers. So I think most of the Finnish teams of like past WTCs are gone or playing Guild Ball, whatever. And it felt like they were kind of, down a ton of people. So we are cautiously optimistic, I guess. Going into the round. And the guy I play against is called Vil Jatinen, I think. Maybe a Bangalore last name guy, sorry. Also super nice dude. We had a good chat, clean game. And I think this round we get a ton of good matchups. Let me check my matchups against these people. Also, of course, we haven't prepped against Finn, so I have no great like accurate numbers, but they play Magnus 2, Thexus 1, which I thought was great for me. Hexi 2, Xerxes 1, which is, I think, great for me because Shade 3 rolls over those lists. And then Axis, Lucant, I think this is great for Coven. Helena 1, Ossian 1. This is, I think, a matchup where having Shade 3 helps hugely because you don't have to play into Ossian. And Ossian has no way of dealing with Dara in his people, Occultation Dara.
They jump
assassins, but if you can blast them with a Kraken or trade them for one Bane Rider, you just, at this point, win. So I thought this was great for me. And then there's a Coven Dark Host and a Terminus Fleet. And he has an RFP spell, but I thought this was better for me. I haven't played Terminus into Coven, but I just thought this, he does not so like many things for his army and stuff. And even though he can RFP some people, I felt like I'm ahead in this game, but this is untested speculation. So
I feel like that matchup is how good are his tough rolls. Has a huge influence on how that matchup goes.
Maybe, yeah. He has only small black, small ghost raiders. I can probably, I don't know. I haven't played this, but I felt like it's at least a game for sure.
Max ghost raiders are better in a mirror. That's for sure. I mean, because you have more magical attacks.
They're better if the other guy has a wraith engine at least, which we both do. I think the value of ghost raiders goes down if there's no engine on the board.
Yeah, true.
But until this new Wraith Witch comes out, what's her name? Agronia, Grimony. Whatever.
Yeah, Agronia something.
Until she comes out,
Agrimony?
Actually.
Agrimony. I don't know. That's it. Yeah, Agrimony.
Until she comes out, Fleet actually has a bit of a problem killing an engine.
Yeah.
So the engine is a big asset in the mirror.
Yeah, basically the best way to kill the engine in the mirror is Rengrave it.
Yeah, okay, assuming you don't get your engine charged by Rengrave, which is, I think, fairly possible, especially because I have two Stalkers, and they have Grievous Wounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also an asset in the mirror, I think, if you have Stalkers, because they can contest fairly easily, even against Pirates, because they can't be shot, and they can kill Rengrave.
Yep.
So, yeah. I don't know, I told myself this is okay, even though he has an RSP spell. But I told Robin I don't want to play against this guy, because I think I have very good matchups against the other four.
Mm-hmm.
So he made sure I played against their Scorn player. And he has like some list. It seems like it's tech to play against Fleet. It has Hexi 2, an Archidon, a Drake, the big large base Drake, the character one.
Chiron.
Raider, Shaman, Cannoneer even. And then like the snake with advanced deployment as an Arknote, the Razor Worm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A bunch of Extallers and some more solos to contest, I think, which is important tech into Fleet, like Mass Tormentors.
Yep.
And yeah, it was an objective scenario where he could have more magic weapons even. So he felt like he could beat Fleet, and then I dropped Shade 3 onto him. And yeah, I think there is not a ton he can do because he can just shoot some people and he can try to RFP some Bane Riders, and I think he tried under the Fleet, but it's like he needs 11s to kill because of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really efficient to RFP Bane Riders with boosted Hellfires. And I just, he can never really contest my zone. We play standoff. And I think he also has to respect the kill. Like, he camps a bunch every turn. He upkeeps Banishing Ward on himself every turn. And I think he's just, yeah, tied down too much here. And I win, I think, fairly convincingly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check. Yes. I made some notes, actually. Yeah, I think it's just, we trade some blows, I can revive everything, and I slowly bleed his stuff out. And then, yeah.
That's how it goes.
I think this round we win 5-0.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Yeah. And then this is the last round of the game, of the day, and it's against Sweden, the one with Wedding, Götaland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this one we had prep for. This one we tapped as one of the big favorites going into the event from our perspective. And you could like sense before the pairings, the situation was a bit tense. Like, this is the last round of the first day. Two of the presumably heavy hitters clash. And you know, like one of them has to go to bed, like with a sour taste in their mouths, right?
Yep. Well, and, like, with extra beer in their mouth.
That's fair. Yeah. And the great champion of the Scandinavian people, Jeppe Resmark, says he clears the air by saying, please stomp us as quickly as possible. I want to drink a ridiculous number of shots tonight. And yeah, so we proceed to lose the starting role. And they want to pick tables, I think. Which is, so most teams didn't do this. And I think this is a mistake. Because matchups, like, all the matchups in our pairing tables we gave ourselves, they're always under the assumption that we can pick tables. Because this is what we plan to do all day. And we felt like it increases, like, increases the numbers in a big way. And you should, if you can get away with picking tables and you don't get screwed over in the matchup process too badly, I think you should pick tables.
I didn't feel like all of the tables at this year's event were very terrain dense. And this is just speaking specifically as a Crix player, I felt that all of the tables were good for me. So yeah, I didn't feel any great benefit from picking tables. And the rest of my team didn't seem to feel like they were getting a lot out of picking tables when we had to.
Yeah, for example, if if Ben, he has this Shadow of the Retribution tier list to play into Fleet, it's possible to play into Fleet, but it's not as great as you think. Like, you can actually lose this game, in particular if the table is not great. Like, all the guys have RFP, right? Because the theme benefit gives all the Mage Hunters RFP. Mm-hmm. And still, it's not a free win into Fleet. You have to play this. In particular, if they can hide, like, their Denny Well or their important key models behind forests, and you want to play on, like, a tennis court. And so we felt like, in particular, this matchup is super critical that we can pick tables if we get him into Fleet by, yeah. Okay. Into this team, we have a matrix filled out with all the numbers we gave ourselves. So if you want to, I can share this with you.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Nerd.
So, I gave myself 40% to Holm because, he has a Lich 1 Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave myself 50 plus means 50, like, even, or I have a chance to win a list chicken to get a slightly better one, but I will never auto lose into Wedding. Mm-hmm. And then I had like 60 into Jocke, 60 into Torbjörn, and 45 into Jeppe. Jeppe was the, I think he played like a list with 5 Fireflies and 2 Striders.
Ouch.
And I thought this was maybe a bit too much even for Coven to handle, even though I hadn't practiced it. But mm-hmm. I can't say for sure. So, but I told people I wanted to not see this. And I think I had played most of these matchups, actually. So these numbers should be reasonably reliable. Let me check Wedding's lists on the website. He had Haley 3. He did have Haley 3. Yeah, I have practiced this one, and I think this is very good for Coven Fleet. Yeah, so we felt like we can get Torbjörn in a very bad one. Because most people, yeah, like Dominic and I and Ben, we all say, yeah, Torbjörn should pan out. With Rashef, Virus 2, and Gorshi 3, respectively. And then neither Ben nor Baron have a terrible one against Torbjörn, so I think he should probably lose a game this round.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have, like, 3 good ones, and 2, I mean, we don't care, yeah? Then there is no... How can I say this, actually? What do I want to say? I want to say your odds of dodging a bad matchup increases if you have also some very good ones. Because then you kind of control... this guy absolutely has to reject me, and then I'm already on the table, or we can pair me up first, I can decline my bad one, stuff like this. And Torbjörn mm-hmm. didn't have this going for him. I think he doesn't smash any of us, really. Yeah, and I think this is the way it went down. I think in the end we played Jocke into Ben, we played me into Holm, which was my worst one, but I felt like I can play the Fleet Mirror. And then we get all the other guys into quite pleasant ones, actually.
Want to go over it quickly? I think it's Dominic plays against Torbjörn.
Yeah, this is the great one.
Robin plays the mirror against Yappa. And who did
we felt like this is actually slightly better for Robin because Haley 3 factor and stuff.
Yeah, I think she's very strong in a mirror. If your opponent doesn't have Striker 1, I think, yeah, very much.
But I think he doesn't even play. I think Striker 1 is not so good into Haley 3. I think actually, didn't he play Nemo 3?
He did.
Yeah, but Robin was still confident. I think Striker 1 is not great into Haley 3. He doesn't have the required number of attacks. You can strip Arc and Shield. He has no good hit fix other than a very expensive spell that he has to stick.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, he wants to shoot with Snipe, right? And she makes a wall of clouds. It's not what he wants to see.
Hmm. Okay.
No, he played Nemo 3. And then what was the last matchup? Virus 2 against Damiano.
Yeah.
And so. Wedding played against Bernhard, I think. And this is the game we lost.
Yeah.
I also think this is not horrible for Bernhard. I think this is something... What did Bernhard give himself into Wedding? Bernhard said he's like a 50-50 even against Wedding.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I play my grinder against in the Fleet Mirror. I had practiced a lot because we have Moritz Riegler on our third team on Germany Wolpertinger. And we spent like a week in a house in Belgium leading up to WC playing lots of matchups. And because we play Corvin Fleet and he plays Lich 1 Fleet, we had this practiced. I think it's actually quite risky. Like, you should do your research and check who's on their team, who's on other teams of the same nation. Is it possible that they have maybe figured this matchup out? Stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the Swedes did this, but anyways, I had this practiced. Ultimately, Andreas finds out that it's a bit harder to RFP the leaders in this matchup compared to in the Denny matchup because the Coven plays them base to base with the ball or plays the cloud in front of them. Stuff like this. Puts occultation on them. And I think I only get one leader RFP'd all game long.
That's a pretty good goal.
Okay.
And scenario is also, I think, fairly even. And so I think the game's going quite okay for me, given the matchup is not so great. And because I played it a bit more maybe than he did, he is a bit down on the clock. And he feels like he should take some risks and lets me try and get two Stalkers and a Pirate on his caster. The Pirate has gang due to another Pirate running.
Mm-hmm.
And Darkshire would be present for this kill. And he's capping a bunch, and he has Parasite in play already, so he is armor 17. At least against the non-stalker attacks.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I failed to clear like the space I need to get there, and then one of my two stalkers has to kill and make space, kill some dudes so my guys can get in. So he's actually only face tanking one loaded stalker instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the dust settles, I leave him on one. And there's a bit of history here because he left my cast alive in the WC semifinals on one box, and so I leave him on one, and then he tries to counter assassinate me. But he doesn't have this feat anymore at this point, so he can only spell one witch. And he can get a few pirates onto the others, but I think it's just not realistic. And then he decides to run out the clock rather than making me prove I can kill his lich on one box.
Nah. Yeah.
Like the gentleman he is.
Like a seppuku, actually.
Like what? Yeah, well, yeah, that would be if you buy an attack on your own caster, no?
Yeah, okay, maybe.
But okay,
more or less like that.
This was a very intense game, obviously. It was not recorded on stream, unfortunately, but I think it was a good one. A lot of back and forth, a lot of long grind because all the pirates come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming out on top, luckily. I think though we didn't need the win this game. I mean, it was one of the ones we expected to lose or, flip a coin for. Mm-hmm. We had the good matchups planned for, and I think we come through 4-1 this round.
You do.
Yeah.
So then you had a very nice and sensible Saturday evening.
Actually, because while this was going on, the French teams went on an absolute rampage and murdered like four or five of the favorites, like one of the Swedish teams, maybe even two. Then Poland Hussars and then Australia dropped beer and.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm forgetting somebody. And then our second team beats Canada Beaver. So at this point, the only team we've prepped for was Sweden. And all the other teams, basically, except for England Lions, that we prepped for are out. So I think at this point, remaining is two English teams.
Yep. Knights and Lions were still in, yeah.
Right. The Pats team we prepped for, of course. Two French teams. We hadn't even read their lists. Switzerland chocolate, and I yeah. we also hadn't looked at them. And then one of the Norwegian teams.
Yes.
Ourselves. And then there's one more missing.
Portugal.
Really? Okay, Portugal.
Yes, yes. Because they played against Switzerland chocolate.
Right. So we haven't really looked at their lists. So we do this in the evening instead of getting drunk. We literally go over what are the French playing? What are the English playing? What is Switzerland chocolate playing? And we find out that we have piss poor matchups against France Falbala. Just happens to be that, we don't get.
Did they bring anything
here.
In particular that bamboozled you?
Yeah. Tons of stuff, actually. Let me pull up the list. Tons of stuff that bamboozled us. France Falbala. So here is one of the rare occasions where Dominic didn't say, yeah, I stomped these people. Because there was one player that had a fleet plus a Scar 1 with 9 stalkers. And he's like, I'm out of here. So, yeah, this happened. Actually, what's this guy's name? Is this Silva? No, Vincent. Okay, so half our team doesn't want to see this guy. Then there's one more guy, Niklas. What is he playing? He's playing Axis Iron Mother, and two people don't want to play him. And then there's this Grimkin thing where some of us are not quite sure how the matchup goes because we haven't played a ton into Grimkin. Robin knows for sure he wants to dodge it. Robin gets piss poor matchups this round. He only wants to play against one player. So we were kind of scared, and we had planned for, we had hoped we win the starting role. This round we were actually going to choose matchups because we wanted to avoid some of the very bad ones. Mm-hmm. And then we proceed and lose the starting role. And I think they just bungled this somehow. We felt like in the end, we get way better matchups than we deserve in this round. I think, hold on, let me check this. What are the final pairings? Do you have this open right now? This is round 4, right? Yeah, so we get Ostrom into Haley 3. Oh yeah, so we think this is piss poo for Robin. And then the French player deploys a bunch of hand cannon bunnies. And then Robin says, didn't your list have like spray dudes? And the French player looks at his list and says, yes, this is a mistake actually. Yeah, he is playing. I mean, the list says he's playing hand cannon bunnies, but he claims this is a mistake or this is wrong in the list. And he, I don't know. And Robin is like, okay, I'm not even going to run to the judge. This is great news. Please continue and deploy your hand cannon bunnies because he wants to play Haley 3. And this is a big deal actually. If the spray guys spray through the clouds. And so this match is a ton better than we thought it was because we thought there were going to be 7 spray guys or 6 spray guys. Then we get Bernhard and Bernhard has poor matchups this round. We get him into the Grimkin player. Mm-hmm. And this is not great or a free win or anything, but like we're happy because Una 2 at least can break through this brick with the primal Tender Fated Griffins and try and play this. And I think Bernhard actually wins this game. Yeah, we win 5-0 this round. And then I play against the Krix player again, which is not ideal because again, I need to defend Coven in a slightly worse matchup against Denny for 120 minutes, but okay. Can try it. And then we get Rasheth into Haley 2, which is great for us. And then we get, Axis into Assyria, which they think is okay for them, but it's not really because it's 2 taps. They get hit by Blinding Light every turn. And you're under a ton of scenario pressure, and I think they just underestimate how horrible this is.
At this point, I have to interject and say, it wasn't until day 2 that I got to play Coven into a bunch of battle engines. Mm-hmm. But blinding battle engines every turn is just so satisfying.
Yeah, Coven, I think you at least have to roll some crits, right? But the series just, okay, this happens. I do this on not snakes, and I do this with Signs of Importance. And it's like, yeah. So we get 3 playable ones and 2 good ones or something like this. Mm-hmm. And even though we expected to play like 2 good, 2 bad, and 1 even one or something less pleasant at least. And I think Dominic and Bernhard win fairly quickly or like fairly convincingly, but no. my game's a grinder.
Only Dominic wins really quickly.
Okay.
And I think because I was on the commentary that round, so I've seen you guys play it. Right. I think Dominic wins first, and it's because I don't know what the Signar player or how or why what he did, but at some point you could see him putting a storm wall into the middle of the zone, because it's the pits two, I think. So it's a circular zone and then two rectangular zones and two objectives. It's that scenario. No, it's with flags. No, it's with flags.
It's the one, hold on.
It has a circle.
The belt buckle one. It's the belt buckle one, I think. We played this round, right?
Yeah.
Fairly confident, yeah. I don't know how it's called, but it's a belt buckle. Circle in the middle and then two rectangles.
Yeah, but does it have objectives?
Yes, it does have objectives, like in the rectangle zones shifted to either player side.
But it has flags as well, right?
No, I don't think so. Yes, I think the one you were talking about is spread the net, and this is last round, right? Wasn't it?
Maybe.
Oh, no. Maybe this was spread the net. Yeah, true. I think this was spread the net. You're right. We played spread the net this round. So it has flags. It's true.
Yeah. So anyway, so the French player gets his storm wall in the middle of the brown zone, in the middle of the table.
Yeah, and Dominic just kills it.
Yeah. And I really didn't understand why he did that. Maybe there's a good reason.
I mean, this is probably a mistake, but it's very difficult to get an alpha with in this matchup, even though you're playing Heli 2, because the Stonewall only goes 12 and the Battle Engines go 13.
Mm-hmm.
And cannot TK them because Rashes says Castigate and it just bamboozles Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never really... I mean, at some point, you're going to get charged by a Rage Turtle. And I think maybe the French player underestimated how hard these things hit.
Yeah, and how fast they are. Bucks 8.
Yeah. Speed 8 and then reach 13. Well, I think he misplaced his Stormwall, but still, it's not a good matchup.
No.
Especially not since the nerf, because before the nerf, you could maybe tell yourself, yeah, I can do this on scenario. But now that you for sure can run with all the Venators, like you're contesting easily and stuff. So I don't think this is great for them.
No, I think there's also a lot of underestimating going on against Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Also, he didn't do so well, actually, at WC. He went like 11-11. And mm-hmm. six of these wins are Dominic's wins. So if you factor out Dominic, he went like 5-11. And I'm like, how is this possible? This is, in my book, this is one of the top 5, top 10, for sure, casters in the game. I'm probably going to say top 5. If you ask me the top 5 casters in the game, probably Rashef will make this cut. And I don't get why he's not... A, universally respected, and B, where he doesn't get the results. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's strange. Thing is, though, that not everybody owns the models that are really good with him. I mean, to be fair, who on earth owns, well, practically anything that goes into Robin's list from in Mark II? Come on, it has two Rage Turtles. I mean, they at some point, they were on sale for $20 a piece.
Right. But still, like, if it's WGC and you notice it's good, and Dominic has been filmed playing this list, and I have been filmed playing this or a similar list, I think 5 months ago or so. So you could have either borrowed off somebody or just buy it, paint it. Like, it's easy to paint one huge base model. It's not like you need to paint a ton of things for this list. It's just like 36 points are in fairly big airbrushable models. So, I don't know. I think that shouldn't be an excuse if you go to the World Championships that you can't get the model in time.
Oh. We lost the class.
Oh.
Hopefully he'll pop back in. But
I don't know if...
Go on.
I don't know if we should talk about this matchup because everybody can watch it on stream.
Yeah, we'll just give it a real quick overview. The next one...
Right.
The next one was England, right?
Next one's England, yeah.
Yeah. Give it a bit of an overview, yeah.
Of the... No, all the three last rounds were on stream, right? Mm-hmm. Even the one against the French. So I'm not sure if I should go over the matchups against the French guy.
Don't go through it in too much detail, but just talk about your games.
Right, okay, so we play Coven, obviously, against anyone. Usually, I think, going first is kind of critical in the Coven and in the Fleet Mirror.
Yeah.
But if you play... I think if you're Denny 1 against Denny 1 and you go second, you're screwed. But if you're Denny 1 into Coven, I think the starting role matters a whole lot less because the Coventry is just such a big equalizer which takes a lot of tempo out of the game basically, and so I can make it so that it's a long grind, nobody scores for a while. Also, we have I have a Wraith engine, so I lock down one zone and we sort of argue about the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get down on scenario a bit, but it's not too bad after her feat, and eventually I can manage to run my Wraith engine, or like kill enough Black Bane so it's invulnerable, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run this unkillable Wraith engine into the far zone, like it runs 14 from the zone and that he has already given up on because it's there. I run it into the other zone where he wants to score, and then I score the right zone, basically, and sort of even out the score, and he struggles with killing the thing. He runs Denny to one of the flags, but there is like a spot where the Wraith engine can both contest the zone I want to lock down and this flag. So scoring is stopped altogether, and I can sort of win, I don't know, like 7-6 or whatever. Can't remember.
Yeah, win by a point on turn 7?
Not by a point on turn 7, but like I'm a point up, and he knows he's not going to score another point. I think this is turn 6. He has one more round to try and kill it, but he would need to spike it with Denny, basically.
You'd need to, like, yeah, kill a Wraith engine with Negra is not a good plan.
But it's quite possible, actually, because, I mean, if you have an own engine, it's quite easy, actually, because you have Darkshot.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. So she has to cast Parasite. So she goes up to power 15 of 3. And at this point, she has 4 left, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she does 3 boosted attacks, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it's not happening, probably.
Not very likely.
Not very likely, but okay. He tries for some caster kill on his 6 camp coven. And it
doesn't... Yeah. I mean, there's so much damage you can prevent.
Yeah. I mean, he knew that it was not a good plan. He had like 3 minutes left on his clock. He needed to decide, do I want to kill this? Do I want to kill the coven? Neither is really likely. So he gets an arc node where at least some of the witches are in the back arc. Or he can spray some in the back arc where he doesn't boost to hit. So he says, okay, this is maybe even more likely. I'll try it. Doesn't get it.
Yeah. I thought it was, as a spectator, it was a bit of a nail biter, but probably now the way you tell it, it doesn't seem like you were ever not really in control of that game.
No, I was, he was ahead, of course, early on because his feet is better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of slowly got back into the game. And...
Which it feels a bit counterintuitive when you look at it, because while the Coven are really good in the first turns because they can really deliver their army, but once the two lines meet, they don't do as much as a Crippling Grasp out there, for example.
Yeah, they certainly don't do as much work as Venom does. That's the problem. Venom is actually super annoying spell. Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, some extra years of playing this game in my favor, and then
maybe
some table time in the exact matchup. And then, I leverage my Stalkers nicely. I get to a point where my Wraith Engine is not possible to kill anymore, and then I can get back into game. It was not really the Coven doing the work. It was more like the Wraith Engine being unkillable. He lost his Wrengrave early on to a Infernal Machine Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Great trade.
8 points against 5. Against 0, actually. Yeah, but 3. But it is still...
It's still great trade.
Very much worth it, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then we play against England Lions, which they were the strongest team left in the pool. But we're still reasonably happy to play them because at least we have done testing against their lists and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. This is also, you can watch this on the page 5 stream. The matchups we get are Thyra 1 and Una 2. We had no great idea if this is good for us or bad for us. We haven't played this. There wasn't just, like, not enough Thyra players in the event to justify spending a ton of table time on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Dreamer into Virus 2. This one, I think Pat thought it was very good for him. Ben thought it was quite good for him. I think the final verdict maybe is this is good for whoever goes first. I don't know. And then also Ben forgets to feed and doesn't get to move his stuff. his griffins. Pat wins this game reasonably early.
Yeah.
Then we get Rasheth into what we thought was Fleet, but Ryan dropped Host. But either way, I think this is okay-ish. I think this is slightly better maybe for Crix even, but Dominic managed to win this game. And then we get Robin Zurkavon against Haley 3. And I think the way the pairings worked, in the end we had Richard Beach left and Matt Golliger left, and Robin and I can decide who wants to play against whom. And I think I have a very good one against Richard, because he doesn't have an answer to Gorshade 3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I am unsure how good I am into Golly, but I think this is also okay, or good for me, actually, because he has 2 Striders in a Striker 1 list, and the other list is Haley 3, I don't have to respect very much at all. And Robin isn't quite as sure about his matchups, but he thinks it's not good to take the 50-50 in the Haley 3 mirror. because it's very, you know, dice dependent and dependent on who goes first and blah, blah. And so you don't want to reduce a guy as good as Robin to like starting role.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in the end, I don't get the one I wanted, the one against Richard, and I play against Golly, who also, I have to say, he's a champion. He's an absolute, it was a blast. You didn't really notice it was a semi-final. The game wasn't tense at all. We're having loads of fun. Nice guy. I completely bungled the matchup again. I have a good chance to kill a, what's it called? A Stormstrider before mm-hmm. the game starts. Because I go first, I run up, and he, because my Stalker's threatened so far, I can basically deliver them to him on top of two.
Yes.
And I can get two Stalker, and I can run the Wraith Engine there, I can stick Curse of Shadows, and I can get two loaded Stalkers into it. But because I'm a moron, and I, and then, you know, they have Blessed, it has Arcane Shield, but they have Blessed, so I'm off three. So I do 16 damage per Stalker, so it's 32, and they have just under 30 hit points, so it should die. But because I'm a moron, and I play Coven, and this is embarrassing, even though I play Coven, I have three casters to activate, I have the ball and two Arc Nodes, I put myself in a position where I cannot possibly cycle Infernal Machine after I stick Curse of Shadows. Like, the Arc Node that needs to be there to cycle Infernal Machine on the second Stalker to make it get there is also the Arc Node I need to activate to stick Curse of Shadows. And so I can either send one Stalker in without Curse of Shadows, then activate the Arc Node, or then activate one Witch, cycle, then run the Arc Node, activate second Witch, stick Curse of Shadows, and have only one Stalker go with Curse of Shadows. Or I can send one Stalker into the Wraith Engine, Battle Engine, do some damage, not kill it, be sad for a turn, but at least have the second Stalker cripple a Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that, which was probably a mistake. And so I cripple a Firefly. I take like 16, 17 boxes out of a Battle Engine. I think I leave it at 7. So and my Wraith Engine is still incorporeal, so that's fine. And I Grievous Wounds the Battle Engine, and I only later learned that you can no longer Grievous Wounds a Battle Engine. I knew about Colossals, but I didn't know that you cannot Grievous Wounds a Battle Engine, and Golly didn't either. So he doesn't heal it next turn, which is good for me, I guess. But I have to wait for a full turn because of Striker feet. And then he does way more stuff on my feet than I thought he would do. Because of he finds some places he can see and leap lightning into stuff. And it goes a bit down. And even though I think this is actually a good matchup, given like average crit luck with the crit blind on the engines, I should totally win this game. But I don't take the free engine when it's there. Then I bungle other stuff. Then I have an Arc Node that doesn't have an Arc Node box left. And I have the repair objective. And for three consecutive turns, I managed to place it like 4.1 inch away from this thing. And then one more fuck up, like in turn 4 or 5, I go in on the Hurricane. Because he has a Arcane Shield on the two Stormstriders. I go in hard on the Hurricane, charge it with like 6 Pirates and Rengrave. It dies. And there's also an Arc Node attacking the thing. And this Arc Node, once the wall dies, is unengaged, of course. I still have a Witch to go. I can try for 2 more attempts on a crit blind on a Stormstrider. But mm-hmm. in my mind, because this Hurricane died so unexpectedly or so quickly, in this turn, I wasn't kind of counting on casting any Abyss at all. And I just blanked on, oh, now you can channel. Let's do it. So these Striders get to activate and kill a ton of shit. In particular, they get to kill Rengrave, who's now exposed and can be lightning leaped on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so ton of stuff dies. And then my last mistake, even though I make all these mistakes, the matchup is, I think, good enough to sort of be in control. And I am up 6-4. This is the last round. And I can run my ball into a place where two zones meet, where it contests both. Yeah. And it should win me the game because he can only score one zone and I should win 6-5. I'm a bit of an idiot. And I don't camp 9, which I should have done. But before I run the ball, I try for 2 crit blinds on one of the engines. If I get it, I also win the game. But I don't get it. And I really shouldn't have taken the chance of not getting this blind. So I should camp 9. So I camp 3. I run the ball in. The engine is not blind. And also, I don't place my witches to be like within more than 4 of each other. So when he goes for the assassination, which he has to because he can't win on scenario, possibly, he can only win if the ball dies, basically. So he gets all these extra leaps. And if I just place me, you know, my stuff a bit slightly more sensible, this is not really a question. So given this assassination and it's a camp 3 and he needs to boost to hit, but still it's like, why give it to him? And in the end, he rolls quite well. He hits all the shots. He rolls decent damage. He rolls decent number of leaps every round, every shot. And my last witch lives on 2. So this was, I shouldn't have done this. And golly, honestly, I think he outplayed me in a bad matchup and he deserves to win this. I made like 4 critical mistakes and I even misinformed my opponent basically that he can't heal. So even though all these 5 things happen, I win this game, which feels shitty somehow. And we need this game because Robin and I both have to play these long grinders and we both have to win because we are already 2 games down after Ben forgets defeat. So yes, this was a nail biter.
Maybe that's the game where you get lucky and win the tournament.
Yeah, we got lucky. Also, I mean, Robin and I are, can you say this in English actually?
We are
veterans of the game, basically. And in situations like this, when the clocks wind down, I think we're still sort of comfortable, make a play for the win. And you can see in the, if you watch the recording, they catch Robin. He has to stop, Richard from contesting. And he takes a free strike with 7 seconds on his clock and he just flips the clock and he rolls the hit roll and he picks up his dice. After he hit and he can't find his 3rd die and he knows he has only like 5 seconds left at this point. He just rolls the damage roll with 2 dice. He says, okay, he's dead. He flips the clock back and he has like 3 seconds left. And I don't think you see many players taking a free strike with 7 seconds on their clocks. And, you know, I mean, it was good to have Robin in this last game on the deciding table, basically, to have a guy as sort of, veteran as him.
As chilled out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pure star power right there.
Also, a ton of luck, of course. A ton of luck. Especially me against Golly and also Robin against Richard, with some rolls going our way, of course. But, yeah. Okay, felt great to be in the finals again. And shout out to the English, the world champions. Sad that Ryan isn't here.
His own choice. He does something like talking to their family. I mean,
what a loser. Related.
What a soul, like a family.
Can talk about War Dollies instead.
About what?
War Dollies.
War Dollies, yeah. Yeah, so with this, we're in the finals again. We play against Norway Munin. We looked at their lists the Saturday night. We hadn't really time to prepare for any of their matchups, and they have some quite unique lists and interesting play styles, so it was a bit to our detriment that we hadn't invested some table time into them, because many of the numbers we gave ourselves in the pairing matrix were like, I hope this is correct. This is not an assessment, this is a guess.
what was your matrix? What did it look like?
Yeah, a bunch of 50s and 45s and 55s, because nobody... I mean, Dominic gave himself 60 against Cuba. Who's Cuba, actually? Cuba is the Krios 1 Vindictus player. Yeah, that's the one he played against. So, and Dominic gave himself 65 against the Haley 2 Nemo 3 player. This is probably justified, actually. But you can see from the matrix, it's just a bunch of 55, 45, 55 plus. Like, nobody wants to say anything decisive. The only guy that had 2 good matches was Dominic. So we gave him one of them because,
Just Dominic.
Yeah, also because, like, if you know nothing, at least give the one guy who knows something a good one.
Absolutely.
Hope you learn that the other ones aren't too bad either.
Yeah, and the thing is, Dominic has been, throughout the tournament, he had been very solid. He had been just delivering, just kicking people's ass.
That's true, but Robin, Dominic, and I were...
Instilling fear into his enemies.
It's true. At this point, we had still 3 undefeated players.
Yeah.
So... This wasn't based on form or anything. This was just based on, if you can get a good player, a good matchup, you do it.
Yeah.
In particular, if you don't know anything about your other matchups. So I think what we end up playing, well, let's go over what I thought against their matchups. Yeah, they had a a double Dark Horse player, and one of his Dark Horse was Fixius one.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt this was his Grix drop, but I wasn't too concerned because I already played against Asphyxis 1 Dark Ghost Fleet. Yeah. I figured, even though my he wasn't my opponent, but he told me after the game he thinks that Asphyxis 1 Dark Horse is stronger in the mirror than Ghost Fleet Asphyxis 1, which seems weird.
I'm not sure what the logic is there.
Yeah, he says it's strong on scenario. You can just push in and score points.
But okay.
I think Dark Horse has even less attacks or even less ways to kill a Wraith Engine.
Yep, and just enough ways to kill things.
Yeah, so I don't know. But I thought I was okay into him. Then Danny won Gorshi 2. I said, please not, because I will have to defend a slightly worse matchup for 120 minutes again, which I've already done twice, and I'll throw up over these Krix models if I have to play it a third time, but Robin didn't care and dropped me to this guy. And then Armon with 12, 11, 13 Dervishes. I'm too lazy to count, I'm sorry, but the list I was concerned with was Thyra. Again, we hadn't practiced against Thyra because we didn't feel like there were enough Thyra players to warrant this. I will play this Scorchy 3 and take a look what happens. He has the RFP spell on her, but like his attacks are fairly low power, and he also doesn't have a book, so I can maybe freeze some leaders and then they can't get orders for a turn and make something happen, but I haven't played it, so whatever. And then Cuba, he has Krios 1, Vindictus 1. I was very concerned about this Krios list because it has 5 Redeemers. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of worried that it'll just shoot my Kraken. And very little options to hide it. He also has like basically a Time Walk feat because you can knock down all the Bane Riders.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could pick Tavis this round, so I wasn't so concerned about the assassination. But still,
yeah,
I felt shitty. But he said he would have dropped Vindictus anyway, so I think I'm okay. I would have been okay probably there. Well, of course, also have tried Vindictus 1 against Gorshi 3, but I didn't want to see this guy. And then Haley 2, Nemo 3. If you had given me this player in the first round, I would have said, nah, Nemo 3 with 2 Striders is probably a bit too much. Mm-hmm. But now that I've played against Striker 1 with 2 Striders, and Striker 1 has at least the defensive feat, because the Nemo 3 feat doesn't really help against Fleet. So I would have felt way more... I felt quite comfortable, at least. Like, not a great matchup, but I'll play it with Conflict. Why not? And see, this is one of the other matchups. This one with Denny Fleet, you can't even attempt it. I think
Maybe so.
So I was quite happy with my Coven pick. But I get the Ghost Fleet player. I have to play into Fleet again. This time he has a Wraith Engine. This is, I think, the worst case scenario where he has, like, the standard list. He doesn't have a Hellslinger for some reason. He has 2 Pistol Wraiths.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't have the model.
Nah, he said he didn't like him.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, then.
I don't like the Hellslinger either. I think he's not a good model. He's free, that's fair. But
I would never pay 7 points for him, but I think he's better than your standard pistol wraith, no?
Maybe.
He's pretty objectively better than the standard pistol wraith. Like, just all his numbers are bigger.
He can't freeze people.
He can't, but how often does that matter?
I don't know. He had 2 pistol wraiths in Ringgrave. I mean, well, I get people who don't play a pistol wraith and they play the cannon instead, because then they can, without big risk, score around zones. But I think you should play the Hellslinger if you can for free. At least over the pistol wraith. Maybe not over the cannon, but over the pistol wraith.
I think I like the pistol wraith, though, because it can freeze battle engines.
Can it? No, it can't.
No, you can't stationary huge
bases. Hang on. Yeah, you cannot stationary huge bases. What the fuck? Yeah, sorry. Never mind.
I don't know. He had 2 pistol wraiths and... he's also a very nice guy. The Norwegians, they were all very nice guys. There was no tension, there was no... I think they felt like they were playing with house money. Like, they weren't too concerned with, oh, we have to win this now, there's a big chance. They were like, okay, we're new on this stage, we're gonna be here for a while, yeah? And we have, you know... For us, it was more like, yeah, we are the veteran team, we should try and win this now. Well, we still have the chance, but they are like, okay, cool that we got here. We're going to probably make second at the very least. Let's try and beat them. But they weren't like, there was no tension, it didn't feel like a final. No rules, bickery, nothing.
That's always nice.
It started off with my opponent failing to realize he could deploy 10 because he was sec player. And I was like, don't worry, go ahead. And this, I think, sets the standard for a loose game or like a not very
relaxed
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at one point, my opponent somehow lost the pirate. Like, he turn two, he ran all his pirates to a line which was more than 28 away from every single arc node.
Mm-hmm.
Which was basically, yeah, in front of his, yeah, basically in the center of the board at the board edge.
Yeah.
And he measured this out very carefully for me. I'm like, okay. And then like three or four turns later, one of these pirates is missing. And I'm like, dude, I'm not sure whether you just ran it up because this unit was already kind of down.
Yeah.
And if this pirate is gone, he only has riflemen left and the units were basically wiped because you can't promote a rifleman. And I said, dude, I don't know where it went. I don't know. And he's like, and then I, okay, you know what? Place your fucking leader back there. I'll pretend I haven't noticed. And, but now, because he had a big pile of dead models next to it, right?
And oh, like, so now a pirate got lost in the dead models somewhere?
Maybe, or maybe he ran up. I can't tell for sure. We can maybe watch on the stream. But I said, now make a compartment with your dead models and place this pirate there. It's fine. Yeah. And so he was a good guy to me all game, so.
Yeah, and you had a good laugh about this, probably.
We had a good laugh, yeah. Or he didn't. He was kind of, ooh, I screwed this up big time. And I had a laugh. Because I'm also like a clumsy guy. I push models over all the time. I, you know, bungle stuff, forget rules. And so if it happens to you, I'm fine. Yeah, so I don't know. This is the third Danny Mirror. You can also watch it on stream. Not Danny Mirror, but Danny 1 and 2 Oven.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I go first, I think. I run up. Nothing much happens. I feed. Nothing much happens. Actually, I think I feed turn 3 or turn 4 because we play also KG and he doesn't want to get up and feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I feed kind of late and there's still no points scored. And then at some point I get Rengrave into his engine and kill it. Rengrave and some Black Panes. And then I'm up an engine and I think it's hard to recover from that. And yeah, I grind this, not really grind this out, but I win like 5-2 way more convincingly than I should have. But, yeah, I mean, I got first, which is a big help, and my opponent also, I'm not going to say I outplayed him, but he made some smaller mistakes, and I can win through accumulation of, like, minor mistakes, basically, in this game.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for once you didn't make any major mistakes or so.
Right. Yeah, actually, I only made fuck-ups in game 1 and game 5, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Game 2, 3, and 4, I think I play
solid.
Reasonable War Machine, yeah. Yeah, so I think my game is it the deciding one to finish?
No, mine is
second to finish, and then there are all the other three games also look kind of good for us, or like at least okay-ish. And so at this point, I'm getting excited. I decide to go on the stream and help the people commentate, or like spill the expert insight on how I think the matches are gonna go because we've obviously talked through the pairings. And then just as I approach Frank and want to offer him this, he's like, hold it, hold it, hold it. And then I think Robin or maybe not. Some other guy wins and the crowd erupts and yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't go on the stream. Instead, I get beer.
Yeah.
It's the correct decision.
I remember that as the organizers, we wanted to keep everyone out of this room. So at some point, I even chase out Hugo Svanborg, who was just there. As watch machine.
Even Hugo.
No,
especially
yeah,
Hugo.
I told Hugo,
like, hey, you can be here, but you have to work. So either you get a runner job or something going on with the second stream. So with the warroom.pl stream or warroom.pl stream. It's not top there. Or you just leave. And he decided to leave. So I was like, okay, sure. Really, there was nobody else in that room apart from the streamers and then 10 players and a judge. But then, of course, because I'm the organizer, so I get to make the rules, I did come in later on when you guys won to be one of the first to be able to hug you because I was so proud.
I think they had piled up some chairs in the doorway.
Yeah.
So people couldn't physically get into the room. Mm-hmm. And once people started screaming and congratulating us, then I think tons of, especially some of the Germans who already finished the Solo Masters, they just broke through this barricade. Let's fuck this.
Tear down that wall.
Yeah. And I felt a bit shitty about this because I think, for example, Pat was still playing on the Polish stream and people were carrying German players through the room. But, okay. Guess they live.
And that was it.
That was it. Yeah. I mean, we talked we bought beers for the Norwegians. We had a chat about the matchups. But I think that was it. I mean, we started to celebrate.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, that was a great experience, of course. Nice to finally win it, even though we are, like, after the last WC, we're sort of half the team is like, let's quit. We've, you know, gave it our best shot and we felt the burnout, basically. And we also didn't like some of the decisions PP did with the team forces. And, you know, it felt like, what is it called? Evolutionary Elementalism Reloaded, basically.
Yeah.
Where, like, everybody was playing a bunch of select few lists. And, but then it's great to, or it was a good choice to get back together and, like, make one last ride and ride off into the sunset, basically, with a trophy. Much better to ride off with a trophy.
Not into the sunset, right back on in for next year. You gotta come back and defend now.
Yeah, I mean, we are for sure losing Ben, right, because he's moving to the US. I'm moving to a different place in Germany where there's no war machine going on. And so we're probably down two people at least. And so I don't know how the defending team will look like. It's probably going to be a strong team.
Sure will.
Let's see. It's a long, long time till even, like, we select teams, so.
This is true.
Not going to worry about it.
So before we wrap up, because we're coming into about 2 hours, we're about an hour and a hour and 40 in recording, but one more topic that I wanted to touch on for this cast is just the level of Crix dominance in the meta and how bad do you think it is?
I think it's quite bad, actually. I think something needs to happen because it's, the thing is, okay, you lose if you don't have a Crix drop, you lose. Yeah. I think this is not the big issue because this has been true for the vast majority of Mark II anyways. And if this is done right or if this is balanced properly, a normal Crix drop also does like, it does some other matchups for you. What is kind of annoying is it feels like if you drop a Crix drop into a Crix player, the guy still gets a game. And whereas like in Mark II, it was like, if somebody drops the Crix drop into my Gatsby, I lose. Therefore, I have this off list, which is like a Shade 2 or something that has some tech to play into, like,
into the Crix drop.
Gun mages, into the Crix drop, yeah.
Like then, the Crix harder thing was strong back then.
That's true. I don't know. Like, I felt like it is worse than even in the heydays of Mark II. Because it feels like I played Coven into some, or Host into some list that were supposed to be Crix drops. And it turned out to be like, yeah, this is like still almost a 50-50.
Yeah, I had a lot of matchups where obviously the player I was paired into thought that there was a Crix drop.
But it's not, yeah.
But I didn't realize they had a Crix drop until I talked to them afterwards.
Right, yeah.
Like, afterwards I go, you know, they'd say like, oh, well, this is my Crix drop. And I went, oh. I thought you'd kind of been chucked like firmly under the bus. I was like, no,
firmly under the bus, yeah.
But it's like, no, this was my sort of, the bus is coming, but I have a chance list. And you're like, yeah, it was bad. It was really you did not have a lot of shots unless I screwed up monumentally on my
right.
end. And that happened in more rounds than not. And that's not a good sign.
What I'm wondering about is how did this come to happen? How did this come to existence? I mean, we got some, let's, to be fair, mediocre infantry that just got a +1 on the recursion and a +1 on a starting roll. And all of a sudden we're stomping.
Also, they made the unit itself a point cheaper in this errata where this happened. And then they released the Hellslinger, which is like a fairly expensive solo to,
I think as well, they, Coven Darkhost, well, on its own, is not a broken list. When put next to Denyone Ghost Fleet, it just fixes all its problems.
Yeah, I actually believe in, it's mostly the casters that are a bit over the top, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I think, if you nerf Ghost Fleet now, like, I just nerf Ghost Fleet, or I nerf the pirates, these pirates are crappy. They don't see play outside this theme forest. They are not. And I believe you can still run Denny non-tier and get great game into a ton of things, really.
Because
or on a different tier.
Yeah, so I believe you should probably look at Denny in various ways, really. For example, like you change the feat to, so in particular that it allows you to run a charge, so you can contest meaningfully and do something.
Agreed.
And you can maybe take even a single warjack point off her, which will mean she will lose a full free solo, because the Wraith Engine is 15, so she has... And after she spends her battle group points, she has 60 points exactly. and you can only trigger the third free point.
You'd have to drop the Wraith engine in order to get your full free points.
You're not dropping the Wraith engine. You're dropping
Or you just don't play two Arknights and two Stalkers.
This is exactly the battle group points. Two Stalkers and two Death Rippers you cannot spend on the Revenant crew. You have 75 points to work with, because these 28 are battle group points.
Yeah.
And if you buy a Wraith engine, you have 60. You have three free solos exactly if you don't spend a single point over.
If you take one battle group point from her, she'll probably
she doesn't bring a stalker. Yeah, maybe. And that's not bring a stalker though, which is a nerf.
True. But that stalker could become a scavenger, which is
I think though, if you take like one or two warship points away from her, it will significantly change how she looks at Ghost Fleet, because she has to.
I think the feat needs fixing first, because like.
Right. Of course.
A lot of the like. On paper, decent answers to Ghost Fleet involve things like magical attacks, which are star attacks. Like, the throne lists in Legion, you're like, oh, right, those thrones are kind of scary, except when I feed on them. Then I smash it. Like, you take away the no star attacks, no running, no charging, that's still, Denegris feat is still off the hook incredible.
Yeah, but at least it doesn't block a lot of the tech.
Yeah.
It doesn't auto-win your scenario on the very fast scenarios anymore.
Exactly, yeah. And do you think Coven need a tap as well?
I mean, I played Coven Fleet 5 times. It felt ridiculous. Coven Host is strong. So, Castle is strong in 2 lists. And can play a what's it called? The Carapace spam now.
This will probably good also be. This list too.
Yeah, so I think this is a very strong cast. And maybe it doesn't need fixing, but at least you should discuss it, you know? Maybe in the end you decide against, but it needs to be looked at.
I do feel a lot like Coven are very strong just because of the meta.
Right, yeah, but strong meta casters are strong casters.
It's true.
I also think you should maybe take a look at some of the offensive solos in Krix, because Rengrave is just too good. And it doesn't help to make him a point more expensive, because he's taken for free most of the time.
Yeah.
He just for 0 points, this is just too much value in terms of his damage and what he brings, and he does everything. He's hard to kill. Contest super, super badass. He does 20 points on a high armor target. Like, he legitimately can kill a battle engine by himself. And he is also a support model that gives everybody +1 to hit, so this, I think, just too much for 0 points.
They could maybe just change the rapid strike back to cleave, for example.
That would help. I don't know, you can discuss whatever, but I think he's too good for 0 points. And I think Dara is too good.
Even for 9 points? No. Really good, but he's not. He's very hard to get into lists, and
hard to list. You pay 9 points, he's in your list. That's what.
No, but that 9 points is a valid decision, I think.
Dara is okay where he is, I think.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think you should take a look at some of these solos.
I'm just saying, as much as I'm quite sure that Krix are the best faction in the game right now, I don't want us to go too crazy on what needs fixing, you know.
Right. No, I think it's actually, I don't think it helps you. Like, if you completely give anyone the epic lich treatment, like, let's say the feat is on 3 models and we remove Crippling Grasp entirely. She's not going to see play anymore. We also remove Stealth for good measure, because let's kick her. I think this still doesn't fix the entire problem. I mean, I just felt like I can get a bunch of great games by not playing Denny at all.
Yep.
So, yeah, agreed. But I mean, it will, I think if you just remove Danny Denegra from the equation.
Stuff gets a little easier. But I think this is not...
But I think that the dominance in general for Krix goes down, because you would need a better player, I guess, to perform. I think what's the case now is that just practically anybody can perform with Denegra. Maybe that is a bit of a problem.
Maybe. Yeah, I just rather like her getting a smaller nerf and then some other stuff getting also small nerfs, because again, I didn't play Denny, and I felt like I didn't have a big weakness in my pairing, like no glaring one at least.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I don't have great matchups into Fleet or against Grimkin or whatever, but like it's they aren't big. I need to dodge this faction kind of thing, yeah. And I think a bunch of factions, for example, Elves and Legion and Mercs, they just have poor matchups against. Regardless of what they drop, almost regardless of what they drop, regardless of who wins the starting role, it's just bad. And that's not cool.
Really? You think Retribution has...
Yeah, I think I have a very good match against Retribution, yeah.
I mean, actually, you have Gorshay 3, but just a basic Denegra setup? Does it have such a overwhelmingly strong...
No, I think so, yeah.
I'm talking about my pairings. I think Gorshay 3 is very strong into red to the point where people have dropped Virus 2 on the off chance that I drop Ghost Fleet and they just concede. Because they didn't feel like, Ossian or whatever is going to cut it.
And the Assyria Shadows of Retribution thing doesn't work.
It's not good against Gorshay 3, no.
Oh, yeah, no, Gorshay 3, no. But
I think this Assyria list, because Ben played this, right? And every round we had this discussion, can we drop you into red? Into Denny Fleet or into Coven Host. And neither of these lists, even though this Shadows of Retribution list looks teched out to the eyeballs, this is not a gimme. This is a difficult matchup to win for Ben.
Your advantage at that point is that the Krix player on the other team is probably going to try and dodge him. Like, that's the power that list has. Even though it's hard on the table, the Krix player on the other side is going, oh, that looks scary.
Just give me something I can stomp.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, I think we had a bit of a problem ourselves, as we as a team didn't have enough good Ghost Fleet drops. Because we had this, 45%er with Ben. We had we can play this with Una 2, Baron's Una 2. It's also not great.
Really? Play Una 2 into Ghostly? Mm-hmm. How?
Yeah, I mean, you have three units of the chicks with knives.
Oh,
they
have
RFP on the knives.
Oh, yeah, true.
And then you have a Pure Blood and one bird with flank, and Animos can kill the Wraith Engine, so you have this covered. And then...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can play this, but it's not easy because you need to space properly every turn. If a venom happens and too many of your chicks die, it's horrible. You still need to suffer through the feed. It's horrible. They can play Dark Host into you, and it's okay, but it's also you're trading what's it called, Griffins into Bane Riders, which is also if you play against Dark Host and Dara is there, which he absolutely should. Like all the people who play Host and don't play Dara, what's wrong with you guys, please?
I wanted more Bane, Sasha. I just wanted more Bane. Oh,
Dara doesn't fit in a Coven Dark Host. He just doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
You can get two small units of Banes and two attachments. It's just more free points.
Yeah,
sorry.
But then you don't have Dara, and you instead have another small unit of idiots.
See, I played it with Dara a bunch, and he wasn't swinging games for me.
Okay, I didn't play a single unit of Bane Warriors from the Gorshay 3 list. It's just a Kraken, a Wraith Engine, two Bane Cav, a Necrotech. And then my free solos are a free Tartarus and a free Wraith, Machine Wraith. Because I think Tartarus, Dara was way more important than another unit of Bane Thralls. Warriors, sorry.
You're just a wacky mad scientist, Sasha.
And also this meant that my Tartarus wasn't really scary at all. Because people were just sending people into him because he can't make any new Banes anyways. But I think Dara is still so worth it.
Yeah, but it's also because you have a Kraken.
It's because I have a Kraken, that's true.
That changes the maths a little.
A little. But
it's just a tiny bit, yeah.
Tiny bit. Yes.
Alright, so just to wrap up, because we're closing in on enough recording and I'm going to have to mosey soon. So one last really short thing from the two of you. Now that the theme drop has happened, are there any Krix lists that you haven't played that you're excited to have a look at in the near future?
You go first.
Oh, I'm not straight away. I'm not, I'm massively enthused by what I've seen. Although I might want to try or give it a shot to dojo me up something that has Blood Gorgers. Somehow I still love some trolls. And I have my Blood Gorgers. They're painted. They're nicely done. I don't know. This sounds like something I want to try. Just have a look at it, see what it can do. I have no idea yet which caster to use because
You want to get those Blood Gorgers down?
I just want to get those Blood Gorgers on the table once and then we'll see. But yeah, as for the rest, I'm not really very enthused.
And I'm pretty psyched to play me some Venithrax. I've loved that guy forever. Mm-hmm. I loved him in Mark 2. I love him now in Mark 3. And Black Industries is just the perfect theme force for him. Mm-hmm. It has all the things that he wants. So I'm looking forward to getting some of that on the table. I'm probably going to throw down some Satixus as well, because they're Satixus and they're sweet.
Fair.
So yeah, I've got an all-ladies list lined up, just to give a crack. I'm going to try and run it into Ghost Fleet a few times and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not great, but then again, everything's magic weapons, there's lots of incidental RFP, plenty of attacks. Might be able to work it out. I'd love to be able to play a pair that isn't Ghost Fleet and Dark Hosts.
Fair enough.
So I'm gonna put a lot of time in for the next few months to playing all the other themes.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for Mad Scientist shit?
Oh yeah, Mad Scientist, me man.
Yeah, bring it.
Okay, I'm quite interested in going back to Shade One.
Uh-huh.
Because basically my old list, except for the Satixus, I believe, goes into Dark Industries.
Yeah.
And now I'm just getting Carapace and 2 inches of deployment and a bunch of free points. Uh-huh. And I don't really have to give up anything. I guess I have to decide between Orin and Wrong Eye, but like, I got a ton of free points, everything looks great. And I also want to try this sort of a similar list into the theme force that gives you, is it Gangfighter on the Jax?
Yeah, the Slaughter Fleet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This seems also interesting, because, yeah, he lacks some punch a bit sometimes. I mean, not really. He has Dark Shroud and a bunch of heavies, that's fine, and he can summon the unit of Banes, but it will make stuff even cooler if you have Gangfighter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Carapace theme has some Scornergy with him already protecting his stuff against shooting.
Well, you know, people get inside your stealth, right? Sometimes they have to take
also, shots. People shoot you with, like, Sloan's
exactly. Hunters.
So whatever, I'm interested in trying this list in these two themes, which wasn't possible before because, Wrong Eye, I think, is critical to this list. I'm also quite interested in digging out Scar 1.
Oh, I was excited by the Scar 2 tech. I've got like 4 Scar 2 lists in my war room right now.
Right, because I think Scar 1 can play into Ghost Fleet.
Scar Hellfires, yeah.
Yeah, you have Hellfire, you have a big stack to work with. I tried this, actually, I practiced this a bit, because she also can play into Cigna, which is cool. So she fit the bill for my, I need a pairing that can deal with these two boogeymen. And so you can play a bunch of Stalkers, you can play 2 Wraith Engines, you can sort of bleed Fleet dry slowly by saying, okay, you can never kill my engines, and on the turn you want to feed, I'm going to feed first, and they're going to be arm, whatever, 25 against shooting, and 23 against mm-hmm. charges. So you can go down this route. I will try this with either of the themes, the new themes, I guess. So this seems interesting. Yeah, I'm somehow torn on the Satixus one.
Yeah, it's not fantastic.
Well, the Satixus one is the one that's coming in the book, right? So there's a bunch of new models due to happen.
Right, okay, yeah. I will go back to this one then, maybe. I mean, is this the one that gives Gangfighter?
No, right. That's the
other... This is the pirate, the other pirate one.
The living other pirates. Living pirates.
Yeah, see, for me, in my mind, Satixus are practically pirates.
They are, yeah. And at the keynote, I thought that these two themes were the same theme.
Right, yeah. So this always confuses me somehow.
So I'm a little sad that they got split in two.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Carapace one and the Gangfighter one. And not so much in the Satixus one.
The Satixus one doesn't do anything particularly fancy. I mean, Pathfinder for all Satixus is cool. An ambushing unit is really strong in 2017. But...
Right.
And Satixus units are still just really good. So...
Yeah,
like, I think that theme will be solid. But it's also due to some new models. So we get to see later. Anyway, guys, I gotta go. Sasha, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a total champ. Literally.
Okay, I'm a champ, that's true. That much is true. I have a trophy that says so.
Yes. I was so proud to give it to you. You have no idea.
Cool.
Like the highlight of my weekend.
Nice.
And thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Chasing the Dragonfather.
Yes, we're never going to say Chasing the Dragonfather together. We're not chain effect.
No, we are not.